This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you, France. And I know a lot of Muslims, when they see this title, they're going to be upset. But hear me out until the end. Because I have no doubt that when we see them degrading and insulting our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we're going to become upset and we're not going to like this. But as I was reflecting on what's happening, I was writing down some things. I remember the verse in Surah An-Nisa when Allah said, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That perhaps you dislike something, but Allah puts a lot of good in it. And the verse when Allah said, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That they plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. In reality, what have they done? They've revived the love that the Muslims have. Because every Muslim has in his heart a tremendous love and respect for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because of our inshighal bid dunya, that we've been so attached to the dunya, we've drifted away from our deen, that love has been buried under the ashes. But it's still there, alhamdulillah. But when they attacked our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they reignited that love and that fire in our hearts for the love that we have for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as Muslims, how should we respond in our fight against France? And I say, yes, our fight. Because now as Muslims, we're going to fight. We're not going to throw a single punch and we're not going to shoot a single bullet. We're going to defeat them and fight against them with something even more powerful. And I believe there's four things that we need to focus on as Muslims and how we respond against France and in defending our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before I mention those four things, there's also four points that I want to mention here as an introduction. The first thing is, as Muslims, a lot of times when we become upset, this happened in the history in the past, when people made the films about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no one ever heard of, the Muslims became enraged and they're the ones who spread the film around, and then non-Muslims came to see, oh, it's 13 million views now, so what is this film about? And they come and watch the films as well. So these pictures that they are spreading, degrading our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it's not permissible for us to spread it. If we're angry, you can talk about it on social media like I'm doing now. You can write about it, but never ever share such pictures. And you're not just committing a sin by spreading out these pictures, you're also helping them in their narrative. The second point is France. And who is France? France has been one of the main enemies of Islam and the Muslims throughout history. Look at what they did to the Algerian people and the genocide and all of the other countries in Africa and around the world where they slaughtered millions of Muslims. And then they have the audacity to talk about freedom of choice and freedom of speech. The same country when Erdogan, the president of Turkey, talked about Macron, about their president, they immediately pulled their ambassador from Turkey. Where is freedom of speech now? Clearly it's freedom of speech for them, but not for us as Muslims. Allah shows us the reality of these individuals in the Quran. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that the hatred has come clear in their speech and on their tongues. But what is even greater than that? وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ, the hatred that's in their hearts is even more. What we're seeing on their tongues is only the tip of the iceberg. The third thing is for us to understand as Muslims, why do the enemies of Islam constantly do this? Why are they attacking Islam and the Muslims? What do they really want from us? Once again, the answer comes from Allah in the Quran. In Surah An-Nisa, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. They want you to disbelieve, just as they've disbelieved, so that you will be equal. But why? In another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا, that many of the people of the book, they wish that they could send you back and make you disbelievers once again after your iman, after you believed. Why? حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ, out of envy and jealousy that they have in their hearts. And in another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يُرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ مِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا, that they will continue to fight you until they make you leave your religion if they can do so. And in yet another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, a very important principle that we always must understand, when Allah told us, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ, that the Christians and the Jews, they will never be pleased with you, no matter what you do. They'll never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. The fourth point is that no matter what they say about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in reality, they can never harm him. Allah has made it clear in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have raised your status. The status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so high that a lowlife like Macron or any of these evil people who slander our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they can never harm him. Throughout history, we see this. The enemies of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what did they say about his companions, about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? They said, we've never seen someone, never seen a group of people who loved their leader, as much as they love Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the historians throughout history, they said this about the followers, those who follow Islam, who follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that no one has more love and more respect for their Prophet and their leader than the Muslims do for Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Al-Nahl, Allah said, "Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzeen," that we are sufficient for you against those who mock you. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, "Wallahu ya'simuka min al-nas," that Allah will protect you from the people. So no matter what they say about our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it's only going to increase our certainty and increase our love for him. And actually, it's going to call Muslims back to hold firm to his sunnah and to act upon his sunnah and to implement in their lives. And that's why I said in the beginning, bear with me when I say thank you, France, because what they've done, even though it's something we don't accept, it's something that we reject, it's something that we stand up against, at the same time, alhamdulillah, it's brought many of the Muslims back to love and to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than they used to. So in reality, they've made millions of Muslims around the world better Muslims. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And they plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Now the four things that we need to do as Muslims in order to support and to defend our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most important thing, hands down, is for us to adhere and to follow his sunnah. There's no response that's stronger than for them to see millions of Muslims around the world now adhering and practicing and following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see the signs all around the world, Muhammad, our idol, Muhammad, our honor. And the only way to make him truly our idol and our honor is for us to follow him. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, say if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, then follow me, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens in return when you implement that command? يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, then Allah will love you and he will forgive your sins. And if we believe and we honor and we support and we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not just something that's mandatory upon us as Muslims, it's our way to success. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ, so those who believe in him, وَعَزَّرُوهُ, and they honor him, وَنَصَرُوهُ, and they support him, وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ, and they follow the light of guidance. They follow the light that was sent down with him. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, those are the ones who will be successful. So once again, thank you, France, for reviving this in the hearts of millions of Muslims around the world. The second issue is boycotting France and French products. And this is something that has been proven in the past that it works. And that's why the French Foreign Affairs sent out messages, you know, please don't boycott us, because they know the impact. If millions of Muslims around the world boycott them, they know how it's going to harm them and harm their economy. There's many elements to boycotting. We obviously know what we hear about boycotting the products, not buying any more French products. Yes, that might be the main thing, but there's other aspects as well. For example, those Muslims around the world who always go for tourism to France. No more tourism. We X France from the map and we never go back for tourism again. The students who are sent, most of them by their governments, to study in France, we stop studying, we leave, even if you have a scholarship, because most governments around the world, unfortunately, don't have the courage to stand up and say, you know what, we're going to boycott France, we're going to take out all of our students, we're going to send them to another country. But you as a Muslim, you have the ability to say, you know what, even if I have a paid scholarship, my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is more important to me, and I'm not going to study in France, I'll transfer, I'll pay for my own fees in another country, which have respect for me as a Muslim, and have respect for my beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And any other thing that you can think about that we could do to boycott France. If you have some other ideas, mention them in the comments below so all of us can benefit from them, inshallah ta'ala. Something very important, we're talking about boycotting the products, because I remember before when it came to Denmark, people came out in the street with their cheese and their milk and all of this, and they set it all on fire. This is nonsense, my dear brothers and sisters. When you boycott something, I mean, if you have something French in your house now, I'm not going to take my machine, that's my Molinex machine or whatever it is, and break it because it's French. And that's, you're wasting your own money and you're harming yourself. But if I'm going to buy something in the future, I'm going to buy something other than a French product. But destroying the things that we already have and burning things, that's something that's not acceptable when it's actually haram in Islam. We're talking about future purchases, that we don't buy anything from France. And don't listen to the people who say, oh, it's not going to do anything if you do it or he does it. If we all come together, millions of Muslims around the world, it's going to have a huge impact. And don't forget that the Western governments, when they have problems with certain other governments, with Iran, or when they had before with Sudan, with Syria even before, why did they put the embargoes on these countries? Because they know the this type of boycott and these embargoes, they know the impact that it has on them. Not saying that these are good countries in themselves, because in reality, France might even be better than them, but that's the point. Even like they have now with North Korea, that they realize that these type of embargoes and these boycotts, they actually work. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it themselves. The third thing is that we benefit from this opportunity to give da'wah. Yes, this opportunity. Give da'wah. Call the Muslim, your Muslim brothers and sisters, call them back to Islam. See, this now, they're attacking our beloved Prophet ﷺ. Don't just go out in the streets with signs. Let's implement his sunnah. Let's come back to following his way of life. And for our non-Muslim friends, colleagues, neighbors, that we teach them, who was Muhammad? Who was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are the Muslims so angry when people degrade him? Because it goes against the reality of who he was in his biography. Here is a copy of his biography. Here's a book about who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is a link. Here's a video that we teach non-Muslims. Who was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One of the most amazing initiatives we had in the past was the exhibitions that we had about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now this is an amazing opportunity for us in the West and non-Muslim countries for us to establish such exhibitions. Perhaps it might be more difficult with the corona pandemic, but nonetheless, it's still possible in the streets, or you can rent certain places. So whatever we can do, whatever, it depends on the country you're in, make an exhibition about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and teach the non-Muslims who was he alayhi salatu wasallam. And we're going to see that non-Muslims, once they truly learn who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, that they're going to be one of two people. Some of them might accept Islam. They'll become Muslims when they see the beauty of his biography. And that's going to be a lot. So once again, we say thank you, France, for that. Also, the second category are going to be those who are going to understand. And even if they don't become Muslim, they're going to have a respect. And they're not going to tolerate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam being disrespected or being degraded, as we see time and time again in the Western media and the news. The fourth and final thing that I believe we need to focus on is strengthening our ties with our local governments. Whether you're in a Muslim country, and alhamdulillah, many Muslim countries, starting with Kuwait, and then you know, Turkey and Pakistan, they have very good stances. Other ones, it's unfortunately, it's a shame that they haven't spoken out. But if we can influence those, we know people in the government, we can sit down and talk to them about the importance of having a stance and standing up against this, because it's not just about France, it's about anyone else who dares to degrade our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even for those of us who live in non-Muslim countries, and it's very important that we point out that not all French people are evil. Just because their government is evil doesn't mean that they're evil. There's a lot of good people in France. And not all Western governments are evil just because the French government is evil. We live in Ireland, and the Irish government is very fair, and they treat us very good as Muslims. Even in America, who most Muslims around the world see to be the big bad wolf, they also have a lot of good. Not all of them are equal. If you look, for example, when it came to the French ban against the niqab, the best official response I heard from a government speaking about the ban came from the White House. And as Muslims in America, even though we face challenges, it's nothing like France, where the French, you know, the government has taken away our basic rights to practice our religion. So we can sit down with our local politicians. They can speak out on a national level. They might speak out on social media. All of this, inshallah ta'ala, will have a positive impact. Because in the end, enough is enough. This happens time and time again. The Western laws protect minorities. If we speak out against the Jews or the Holocaust, it becomes anti-Semitic. If we speak out against homosexuals, you become homophobic. Many of these are punishable offenses. So why, when it comes to Muslims, it's open game and people can do whatever they want and say what they want, and they say this is freedom of speech and freedom of choice? And even though these attacks have enraged Muslims all around the world, remember what Allah said in Surah An-Nur, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Don't think that it's something bad for you, it's actually good for you. Because from these attacks, so much good has already come from it, and much more khair and much more good is on the way, inshallah ta'ala.